Through the years, I have listened off and on when I could to the radio program Unshackled. You ever hear that? It's Unshackled, or it's stories of true people, true stories of people whose lives were full of sin and Satan, and how they came to Christ and were delivered. I'm not sure which radio station around here carries it and at what time. Do they carry it at 9:30 here? I think it's, 90.5 Stanford, 9 o'clock in the evening. I think anyway, it used to be. But the director for years was a man, and you could always recognize his voice, and he always said this one thing. He said, if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. And that, through the years, hearing that every single time, I can just still hear it in my mind. This past week, as I came to the Lord and looking forward to the new year, and I had heard somebody say, instead of a big list of resolutions, just look to the Lord for a word, just one word, that would focus you for the whole year. And I've thought about that, and I didn't necessarily ask for that, but those thoughts were in my mind, and I was praying last week, and the Lord blessed me in prayer. And I want to just share some of those things with you, beginning in the book of Mark. And it seemed like that the Lord himself focused me instead of me just coming and thinking about it and asking for a word. I felt that the Lord gave me a word. In the book of John, chapter 4, is the story of the woman at the well. And this is in Samaria. Samaria, we could go into that history, but I don't think I will right now. The Samaritans and the Jews were in a feud with each other. We'll just say it that way. They had disagreements that went way back years, and by this time they didn't have any dealings with each other. And so when Jesus went to share the gospel in Samaria, that was a step now. And he took his disciples with him, and he went through Samaria. And I think the disciples were pretty surprised that he talked to anybody. When they got back, they found out he had talked to this woman. Well, she was real surprised too, because when he sat there on the well while the disciples went into the town to get something to eat, he sat there and waited. He was tired, it said. He was weary with the journey, and he sat on the well. And so this woman came to get water. She didn't know who he was, but he spoke to her and asked her to give him some water from the well. Well, she responded and said, "How come you, being a Jew, are asking me for water? Because you Jews don't have any dealings with us Samaritans." Well, Jesus said, this is what he answered her. He said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you a drink, then you would ask me," he said. "You would ask me and say, 'Give me a drink,' and I would give you living water." And so she's not still realizing who it is and what kind of gift that he had. She doesn't know what kind of water he's talking about. She's still trying to figure this out. She said, "Sir, the well is deep and you don't have anything to draw with. How could you give me water?" She still didn't know where this water was. Jesus then, he was very patient with her. He said, maybe by this time she had handed him the cup of water. And he maybe, think about this now, this is real life. He maybe took the cup, held it in his hand, and said, whoever drinks this water is going to get thirsty again. But he said, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water, and this is verse 14, the water that I shall give him shall be in him, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The Lord's been working with a theme here. I don't know if you've noticed the last half a year, maybe. The Lord has been giving me messages about the character of God, sharing with us how generous He is, how that He came to give us abundantly, how that He wants to be our Heavenly Father, and that as our Father, He has all things, that and we can have them. And I've had quite a few messages on that here. The Lord really working with us to get us into a place where we know the gift. If you just knew the gift of God. So I see the Lord in the past year or so directing us so that we could know the gift. What kind it is, and who is it that says to us all these things. And then knowing the gift now, knowing how the heart and character of God is toward you, knowing that He's generous, knowing that He wants all of His commandments are for our well-being. Everything that He's told us to do centers on us having His best and getting rid of the hindrances to that in our life. He's worked with our faith, unbelief, doubts, confusion, all of that in getting us acquainted with the gift and how He gives and how He wants to put it within us. And now He's saying today, He said, what I want to give you is not just a drink so that you'll be thirsty again. But He said, I want to put within you not just a drink, but a well. I want to fill your life. I want there to be something that's constantly coming up. Oh, as a little girl, I loved the thought of a spring. I wanted to have a spring that I could call my own, where I would just like go to a place and I would see water coming out of the ground. And have you ever been to Mammoth Springs? Alan, you've probably been there, by Myrtle, Missouri. Oh, it's just amazing. And then there's another place that I think Darren went to a few years ago where it's called Big Springs. But Mammoth Springs, there's no bottom to it that they know of. It's water that just boils up out of and makes a mighty river. It's just amazing the sound and the to watch it. And you think if you fell in, oh my, you can touch bottom. It's just deep, 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 and it's cold and it's fresh. I love the thought of a spring. That's what the Lord, He's not talking here about a trickle. And I've thought how many of us are content with a trickle. We just live life thirsty. Every once in a while, we kind of get something. And these are people's spiritual life from day to day and through the years, thirsty. Thirsty. Their spirits and their souls never experiencing what Jesus came to give. But the Lord's been dealing with us. He wants us to know how He gives. He wants us to know His generosity, His heart toward us, so that we can know the gift. He said, if you just knew the gift and who it is that says to you, give me to drink, you would have asked already. If you would have just known, oh, this is the place where we get living water. And just come and just ask, give me this water because I am so thirsty. Now, Jesus said He had a well to put within us. And this well is going to be in us, springing up into everlasting life. So from this scripture, I began to pray, Lord, give me this water and fill my cup. Fill my cup, Lord. We know that song. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. So I begin to pray like that. Lord, I want to be filled with you. And then the Lord began to give us different scriptures. I want to share those with you. Now, the thing about being filled with the Lord, before you can be filled with the Lord, you've got to be empty of yourself. That's the thing. If we are full, and Jesus mentioned this in his preaching, he said, "Woe unto you that are full." But he said, "Blessed," and let's look at this one right where he said, "Blessed are you who are hungry." Matthew 5 and 6. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." So we will never come to the water and ask for Jesus' well and ask for his living water. We will never do this if we don't ever know that we thirst. If we're so full of ourselves, really, is there a physical condition where a person can be dehydrated and not even feel thirsty? I've read this to where you can actually be so dehydrated that when you get to the point of thirst, you're already in bad condition, because thirst, the feeling of thirst, isn't always the first sign of being dehydrated. That's spiritually too. People can be dehydrated spiritually. They don't have the water of life. They don't have, their life is a desert, and they don't really realize it. But Jesus is saying here, blessed are you when you thirst. Not just feel thirsty, but when you begin to seek, to thirst, to say, "Lord, fill my cup." "Blessed are you when you hunger and thirst after righteousness, for you shall be filled." For they shall be filled. And that's my word. That's my word for this year, is filled. The Lord wants to fill your lives to overflowing. He wants us not to just live on a trickle. He doesn't want, you know what, there are some people that live their lives and their thought is, "I need to get into church. Oh, I know I need to get back to church." That's not what I'm talking about. Getting back to church kind of implies that I'm going to go be around the singing and the praying and the preaching, and maybe some of that will rub off on me. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Jesus putting in you your own living water. Not just getting up close to somebody that's spiritual and thinking, "Oh, teach me a little bit. Now I want to kind of pray like you. Now I kind of want to, that's a good thought. I think I'm going to put that in my life." No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Jesus filling us, being filled with righteousness in us. Jesus said, "I want to put within you a well," something that's flowing, something that's coming out of you. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." If we are full of this world and full of our own ways, and we're contented to never change, I like to be around these church people, but, you know, I'm just like this, and it's the way I'll always be. There's a lot of people that think this way. But Jesus is saying, hunger and thirst after righteousness. We've got to realize that there's our righteousness, and then there's God's righteousness in the scriptures. That's a whole other message. But we need to realize that and be hungry and thirsting for God's righteousness. Be seeking it. If we're full of our own, then we won't seek God's. But he said, "Blessed." And he gives the promise, "For they shall be filled." So we have here the promise of the living water, and the promise that we will be filled if we will thirst. And there's another one in Revelations, the very last chapter of Revelations 22 and 17. It says, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come." Now this is talking about the Holy Spirit, who comes to your life. He comes to your heart, and his mission at that time is to invite you. He's not filling you at that time. Jesus said, "I'm going to pray for the Comforter to come and be with you, and he shall be in you." But the role of the Holy Spirit before you're saved, he comes and works in your life. And some people, they just take that as, oh, I have a relationship with God now. And really, what it is the Holy Spirit working with you, dealing with you. You're not filled with him, but he's working with you and he's saying, come. There's a way that the Lord Jesus knocks at your heart door. And it's a mistake to think, oh, me and God have something going on now. We're all right. Lots of people stop right there, but don't stop right there. Don't stop with hearing the Spirit's voice saying, come, and thinking that I'm okay now. Spirit's dealing with me. I can feel his presence. Don't stop with that. Keep seeking and hungering and thirsting. The bride says, come too. Who's that? Who's the bride? It's the church. It's people who are the redeemed. They have this invitation all the time toward the unsaved. Come to Jesus. Come and be saved. That is the heart cry of the church. So the Spirit says come, and the bride says come. And it says now, and let him that heareth say, come. Now how is that? When you hear the invitation from the Spirit, when you hear the pleadings of your friends, those who are redeemed and saved, the bride saying to you, come and enjoy what we're enjoying. Come with us to heaven. Come and be saved. When you hear that, then say to your own self, come, let's do this. Get yourself together and say, this is what I'm going to do. So let him that heareth say, come. And it goes on and it says, and let him that is athirst come. Don't forget your spiritual condition after you've heard that come from the Spirit and you've heard that pleading from the church and you yourself have said, yep, that's what I need, I'm going to go. It says, let him who is athirst come. Put feet to your words. Put action to your promises. Come. And then it says, not only come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It's not enough to just come and see. It's not enough to come and edge up to the ones who are overflowing and say, flow that out on me, please. I need some of that. No, come and take. The gift. Jesus said, if you knew the gift, you'd ask, and I would give you a well. Come and take the well that Jesus has to give. That's what we need for this new year. This year, let us say to the Lord, Lord, I don't want to just skimp by as I have before. Just kind of rubbing off, letting people rub off on me. Just kind of being influenced halfway, sort of, but I'm not really all in it. But just jump in it. Just say, Lord, all of me, this year I want it to be different. I want you to fill me. I want your well in me. I don't want to live a desert life anymore. I don't want to just depend on an occasional rain now and then. Oh, well, we had revival. Now I'm all right. No, every day. You know what? There's something about that in the scripture as well. In the book of Acts, what did Peter tell the people? He said this. Acts 3:19. He said, repent ye therefore and be converted. Let there be a real change, a real repentance. It's turning away from sin. So talking to the people who are full of themselves and full of sin, you repent, turn around. You come and seek after the Lord and be converted. Your whole life changed from the inside out. And he said, what? What's going to happen when you do that? When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That's what he's going to give us. Another place he said to repent in verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is his purpose for salvation, for repentance. He wants people to repent, turn around, and then don't stop there. He wants us to be filled with his Spirit. In this verse that I read, that it says, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. I like the revised version, which says, so that there may come. seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. That's the purpose of repentance. We don't repent to be accepted by all the people. We don't repent just simply to, well, you know, this drinking habit is just ruining my life, so I'm going to turn around. No. We repent because we crave the presence of God. Now, in the Old Testament, have you ever read the stories where they prepared the tabernacle and later on the temple that Solomon built? And after they had done everything according to what God wanted them to do, what did he do? What happened in those places? Have you read about it? Have you read how the glory of God came down and the Spirit of God filled the temple? It would come not just once, but many times when they would pray and they would offer the sacrifices. That Spirit of God would come and fill the temple. What does the New Testament say is the temple now? He says, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You were made for Him to dwell in. And not just a trickle, Jesus says, but a well. He wants to fill our lives so that we overflow. Not us just edging up to somebody that's overflowing, but that we're overflowing. We have a well in us. And that well is, it's refreshing our lives every day. Every day the Holy Spirit can revive and refresh and renew you. We need this every day. Moms, we need it. Dads, you need it. Working men, you need it. Grandmas, we need it. We all need refreshing from the Spirit of the Lord. We can't get by on our own righteousness. We need to hunger and thirst for God's righteousness. So, there's other things that are in this, but I just want to mention a few scriptures that the Lord directed me to. Ephesians chapter 5. Well, let's see. Let's start with Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3, this is Paul's prayer. And when you read anything in the scriptures where it's like a prayer that someone's praying to God, one of God's prophets or one of God's disciples, God's Spirit inspired this prayer. So what these prayers are, they are praying the very mind and will of God for us. So when I read Ephesians 3 and I read this prayer where Paul says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is verse 14 down through 21 is his prayer. Well, in verse, there's quite a bit here. But in verse 19, he prays that we would know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, and that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Did you know that God not only meant to save people from sin, but that He meant to save them and bring them together as a church, as a unit, as a body, His bride? And that being like a house and a temple that He comes down and He fills. He fills you and He fills you and He fills you and He fills me. And we all come together, and that infilling together is something that's alive. It is something that revives and it refreshes and it blesses us. When we can come together and we feel that Spirit of God filling us time after time after time. And don't wait till you come here. At home, all through the week, be praying, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Lay aside your food. Lay aside the internet. Lay aside going shopping, whatever that you're full of usually. Lay it aside and say, God, I want to be filled with your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit so that I can overflow. Lord, don't let my life stay a desert. I want to be full of the presence of God so that I can be able to bring forth, and we're going to mention that in just a little bit, what he has here in the fullness, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, this is God's will for us. This is his desire. This is his heart toward us. I don't want to just give you a tiny piece of me. I want to fill you with my fullness. And then in chapter 5, he says in verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise. Don't be uninformed. Don't be walking foolishly, he's saying, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine. That means the excess of this world. It means the things of this world that addict us and that dull our senses to spiritual things. And there's a lot of it. A lot of things people are full of. They're so full of it that they don't even sense that they thirst, that they are dehydrated spiritually. They don't even know it. They're so full of this world, but their spirits are just like desert. And so he's saying here, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but what? Be filled with the Spirit. People that go and drink a little to take care, to comfort them. A lot of people drink and eat for comfort. Did you know that? I want to give you a little tip. Don't go to food or anything, liquor or anything for your comfort. Go to Christ Jesus. Don't be filled with anything of this world. There's nothing in this world that can bring us comfort of heart but Jesus. Paul said, I think it's 2 Corinthians 7, verse 4. In the middle of the verse, he says, I am filled with comfort. Did you know the name of the Holy Spirit is what? The Comforter. There's a lot in that. That's another message all in its own. But he is the Comforter. He can fill us with comfort when we need, every day when we need it. Aren't there times when you just need something? And you just think, who can I talk to? What can I do? Where can I go for comfort and for just something? You know, you can go right to the Lord and begin to thirst after him and hunger for him. And weep before him and say, Lord, fill up my empty heart. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Lord, come and quench this thirsting. Have you ever been, you feel lonely? You ever feel lonely and you just feel like alone and who can understand me? And no one in my life here understands me. And if I talk to this person, then just go talk to somebody else about it. And who can I go to? You can go to the Lord. You say, yeah, I know. I already prayed and I still feel this way. Go pray again. Pray it through. Pray it out. Pray until he fills you. That's the key. Pray. Jesus told his disciples after he went back to heaven, or when he was going back to heaven, right before, he said, no, don't go anywhere. Don't do anything. You stay in Jerusalem and you pray until you receive the power from on high, the Spirit. Don't do anything. Don't get busy and forget. You've got to have me. He had told him, without me, you can do nothing. This is the way I'm coming back to you. This is the way you're going to have the power in your life, is through my filling, the Holy Spirit filling you. And so he's telling us today, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And let's look in Philippians chapter 1. This is another prayer of Paul. For this I pray, in verse 9, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent. He's talking about our lives here. Don't just let things into your life that are subpar. Don't let things into your life that you know are going to just leech off of you spiritually and hinder you spiritually and drag you down. He said, what you allow in your life, what you approve, I pray that you would approve the excellent. What does that mean? Very best. The things that are without fault, the things that will not hurt you, that's the things that we let in our lives. He said, you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. What are those? Somebody name me some of the fruits of the Spirit. What are they? What do we want to be filled with? Love. We could stop right there, and that's another message. We want to, and I've found myself lately thinking, Lord, some of these problems are so intricate and so involved and so confusing and such a mess. I don't know what to do, but I really believe if you just simply fill me with love, I can work through this one and this one and this one. If I could just be filled with your love. And there was a little song that I remember from my childhood. I do not ask for faith to remove the mountains in my way, or for some special gift to prove you walk with me each day. I only ask for amazing grace to humbly face each task, do each task that I face. Oh, give me a little more love, precious Lord, and I'll be satisfied. So we want him to fill us with the fruits of righteousness, love. What's another one? Love. Patience. Yes, Lord, fill me with your patience. Oh, you know the patience of the Lord? How long has he borne with us? How gentle he's been with us while he's waited for us to comprehend and come to him, and how patient and gentle he is. What's another one? Mercy. It says about wisdom. Wisdom is full of mercy and good fruits. Lord, help us. You know, thinking about that makes me think of two men in the Old Testament that were a real blessing to Moses. And these men, it said of them that God filled them with his spirit and with wisdom to do all kinds of work. And you know what kind of work that he was talking about at that time? What was it that Aholiab and Bezalel did? Do you remember, Levi? What were those two guys doing when they worked on the tabernacle? God filled them with the ability, the wisdom, to know how to carve wood. That was considered a gift from the Holy Spirit. And they carved wood and they beat gold into the different shapes that were used in the tabernacle. They overlaid everything with gold. They took brass and silver, and the Lord filled them with his spirit to be able to do all of that. That's just a marvel to me. Now, we need to be able to shape and mold little lives that are given to us. Lord, give me your spirit. Fill me with your spirit, the wisdom that I need to shape and mold in my life. Oh, Lord, help us. That's a real inspiration to me to think that God can give me wisdom in just everyday household things. I remember my mother, we lived on a very limited income all of my growing up days, but I didn't know it. You know why? Because my mother was wise. The Lord taught her to be frugal. The Lord taught her how to stretch and stretch and stretch a dollar. She could stretch food like you wouldn't believe. I never had a hamburger that was made with all hamburger. My mom's hamburgers had this, that, and the other in them, because you had to stretch it to feed the whole family, probably on a pound. She probably fed six of us on a pound. But she would put oatmeal in them, and I never liked those hamburgers. But now I know what my mother did. But the Lord, she would pray over her shopping. She would pray over her cooking. The Lord would give her wisdom as a mother. The Lord can give us, he could fill us with the fruits of righteousness. And that's what he's saying here. I pray that you'll be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus said, you must abide in me, and then you'll bring forth fruit. You can do nothing without me, he said. Let's see, what's another? Colossians chapter 1. I should have been reading this one when I talked about being filled with wisdom. Colossians 1 and 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, which when he heard of them believing in the Lord Jesus, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. So Lord, help us that we'll be filled with, what does that mean? Just filled at the moment of what you know the Lord wants you to do. Oh, don't we live life in moments, you know? I don't just get a big fullness of knowledge about the entire rest of my life. It doesn't happen that way. We get filled with knowledge in the moment. Lord, what am I supposed to do right here? And the Lord lets you know. The Lord directs your steps. He keeps you from making fatal mistakes. Oh, the Lord can do this for us. He can give us, and he said that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Lord, I need to know, is this right or is this wrong? It's so fuzzy. Nowadays, there's just so much available, and there's just so much information here. What is right? What's of a wrong spirit, and what is of the right spirit? What will hinder me, or what will bless me? Lord, I need you to tell me. And the Lord can just, he can lead you. He can just direct your every move. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to be a living presence in our lives. Not just at one time, way back 40 years ago, but every day. Every day, being a well, filling us with these things, righteousness, wisdom, the knowledge of his will. What's another one? There was a lady in the book of Acts. I like this one. This is practical stuff. Acts chapter 9. Peter was coming through this area. And at the town of Joppa, in verse 36, a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas, this woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Wouldn't that be wonderful to have said of you? That person is just full of good works. Well, why was she full of good works? Because she had a fullness within of the Holy Spirit. This is how the Holy Spirit manifested itself in her life. It was lived out. This is the fountain that came out of Dorcas's life. And it could come out of ours too. You think, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to reach out my hand to help the poor. I don't know. How do you know what to do? That's why we need the Holy Spirit to fill us. So that at the moment of need, he will prompt us and assure us of what to do. And we can have that. Sometimes we will err. But always err on the side of being very conscientious to the Lord and doing something unto the Lord. Maybe later you'll, oh yeah, I gave that to them and found out that they were using it for drugs or whatever. The Lord can help us in our experience to gain wisdom about these things. But really, from our hearts, let us give with alms deeds. Here is talking about helping the poor, helping people. Let the Lord direct us and help us. If you don't feel, when you have prayed and you don't feel the Lord inspiring you, just act in faith of the Lord. Lord, I believe you're leading me and I'm going to go on. I didn't feel inspired to give to that certain need right there. Just follow the Lord. He will lead us right. Other times you may feel, and I know this has been, I've heard Dan talk about this. He'll say, I didn't feel the Lord give me permission to meet that need right there. But then other times I've heard him say, I felt the Lord inspire me to do this. So we can trust the Lord. That's why we need the Spirit inside of us to direct us. And so it can come out in good works according to his will. Now Jesus, I believe it's in John 16. Verse 24. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. He was speaking to the disciples here, teaching them about prayer, and after he was gone into heaven, he wanted them to pray to the Father in his name. So he told them, he said, you've not known to do this before, but now I want you to begin doing this. And he goes on and he says, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now, another place in the book of Acts, Peter was preaching and he was taking scripture that David had said in Psalm 16. He took the prophecy that David had said in Psalm 16 and And he applied it to Jesus, and he applied it to the presence of the Lord being poured out as the Holy Spirit. In verse 28 of Acts chapter 2, quoting here from Psalm 16, Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy. So Jesus says, you ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. And now he says here, you have made me full of joy with your countenance. Oh, there's no other way to be full or filled with joy than in the Lord's presence. That's really our only hope, our only way. Life without joy, it's just, you can make it, you can exist, but wouldn't you rather have the joy? I would. I would rather have the joy. A home without joy, it's just, we're not really getting what the Lord really wants to do in our homes if we don't have joy in our homes. And you see that in different places in the scripture. There's a command for a man to live joyfully with his wife. And then there's a thought about the Lord makes a woman to be a joyful mother of children. So in the home, the father, the mother, they're both to, he wants to put joy into our different positions in life. Well, amen. I just have wanted to share this with you today. It speaks different types in the New Testament of people. And we mentioned Dorcas. There's also Stephen. At the hour of death, what was Stephen full of? He was full of the Holy Spirit. What did it do for him in the hour of his death? One, it made his face shine like an angel. Two, it caused him to be able to see an invisible thing it's usually invisible to us. You don't go around from day to day just seeing up in the heavens the throne of God and Jesus standing right there by him. You don't usually see that, but did you know when Stephen was dying, he could see it? Why was that? Because he was full of the Holy Spirit. Also, at the time of his death, he preached a powerful message. He preached kind of a survey or a summary of the entire history of the children of Israel. And he preached it full of power, wisdom. It said his word, they could not gainsay the spirit and the wisdom with which he spoke. But they were so angry with him, now the Lord allowed them to kill him. But at his death, he was full of joy and full of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit from life to the day of death. I pray that this would be a blessing to you.